Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports, live and underway. Indiana goes to Madison Square Garden and gets a win. And again, a win for this Indiana team away from home against a high major opponent is big stuff, especially coming off of a loss at Wisconsin. But boy, it was some ugly basketball last night both ways. 22 turnovers for Connecticut in the game last night. Indiana had its share, I think finished the game with 13. There were some very bad moments in the second half, I thought especially, of turnover after turnover from both teams and just sloppy play that resulted in some bad basketball. But you take a win anytime you can, especially this early in the year, this second time away from Assembly Hall. Got to keep reminding yourself of that. And then, of course, to go to Madison Square Garden and get a win is big stuff for any college basketball team. And so I'll take it. I don't know about you guys. Indiana wins 57-54 last night over UConn. And, of course, it's part of the Jimmy V Classic, which is awesome. It raises money for cancer. Jimmy V's speech, of course, we got to see Bob Valvano featured in that first game, who has a radio show in Louisville, does color commentary for the Louisville basketball games, and a great guy in our local communities here. And, of course, being his brother, you kind of feel, I think, a tie to the game a little bit more so, given where we're at and given how much college basketball means. But overall, I think good for Indiana, but still, boy, there is plenty to work on for this team as they move forward into some big non-conference games. And then, of course, to Big Ten play, not too far behind. Rob Phinisee back last night. He makes all the difference in the world for this team, although there was still some sloppy play and still much of room for improvement. He in there with the basketball, commanding the offense for this team, is definitely a difference maker. And I have a different feeling about this team and their capabilities to win, whether it's at home, whether it's on the road, whether it's Big Ten game, not a Big Ten game, when Rob Phinisee is commanding this offense. And so to see him back and to look pretty good, to be very steady, I thought, with the basketball. He didn't have a big scoring outpour last night, but he did some other things for the team, very important as far as running the offense, and just a different feel with the team last night. Then you get Joey Brunk stepping up. He hadn't done a whole bunch here recently. The Wisconsin game was a very bad outing, I thought, for him, especially defensively. He did not look good, and to bounce back last night and have some of the big baskets and work in the low post like he did against Connecticut last night, again, especially in the second half, very, very big for him. Consistency still a big problem with this team. That's kind of the word I've used a lot so far this season. It doesn't matter, you know, with the level of the opponent, home or away, conference game or not, there are players on this team that just right now aren't very consistent. You don't quite know from night in, tonight out, what you're going to get. But one thing, again, we go back to consistency with this team that I think he looked good last night. He didn't have his best game by far, but just some of the moves he makes. I know he didn't finish some of them last night, but boy, Trace Jackson Davis, I think, is just absolutely loaded with potential, and it's going to be so fun to watch this year. Again, even though last night wasn't his best game by far, wasn't one of his better games, still very, very solid for this Indiana team. And you can just tell when you watch him maneuver out there that he's got it all. He's got all the abilities, and as it all comes to him and maybe at a faster rate of play with a game against a high major opponent, he's going to be something special for this Indiana program for however long he is in Bloomington. I don't think there's any question about that. Overall, last night I didn't get to see all of the Louisville game. I got to watch the final – second half of the second half, so the final quarter of the game. I thought not a good performance from Louisville. Texas Tech has struggled a little bit coming into that game. Louisville, the number one team in the nation. I think they're the fourth number one team in the country so far this season and the fourth to get beat out of that number one ranking so far this season. So I really felt like for a event that has always been a great showcase of college basketball in one of the great venues for basketball in obviously the New York City, it wasn't the showcase type of basketball that you expect. And not that and I think a lot of it summarizes college basketball so far this season, that maybe right now there just aren't a lot of great teams. Right now there aren't a handful of dominant teams that you can pretty much be assured night in, night out are going to perform a certain way and represent a 1, 2, 3, 4 ranking in the country. But last night, not the typical level of maybe college basketball that we're used to seeing at an event like the Jimmy V Classic, at a facility like Madison Square Garden. But Indiana gets a win, and right now that's what is important for this team, especially after going on the road to Wisconsin after a big win over Florida State and not playing very well at all on Saturday. To bounce back and get the victory on the road is big stuff for this Indiana team, despite, again, some ugly moments, I thought, especially in the second half. Welcome into the show today. Glad to have you with us. If you're new to the program, we do this each weekday, 11 a.m. here on the Big X, 1450 a.m., 96.1 FM. We replay the show most days at 3 o'clock. You can catch it on the radio then as well. And we're also available as a podcast. We're on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts, two free apps that you can get if you don't already have. Search for the Hoosier Report. You can find us in there. Listen to the program on demand. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers, obviously sports from a Southern Indiana perspective as well. And we are glad to have you with us today. Let's take a look at today's show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, as always, I open with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll talk more on IU's victory last night. We'll talk about Romeo Langford and the Boston Celtics coming to Indianapolis for a game with the Pacers tonight. It's New Albany night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. We'll catch you up on that here in the headlines today, and a couple high school basketball things to mention in this opening segment as well. Then later in the program, segment two, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He always joins us on Wednesdays as we talk IU basketball. And, of course, Dustin and I will talk lots about last night's game with Connecticut. A lot of things, I think, of interest to talk about from that game from an IU perspective as far as the lineup goes, as far as Rob Fennessy being back, Joey Brunk stepping up after maybe some people, I don't want to say had counted him out, but maybe questioning exactly what he would bring to this team outside of his vocal leadership and his experience as a Division I basketball player. We'll talk some about that and more. And then later in the program, depending on how much time we have left today, Craig Pearson is out today. So in that final segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, we might cover some other local things or possibly fit in some Archie Miller comments from last night at Madison Square Garden, some of the highlights from his press conference. So we'll cover that and more today in this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. That's the show lineup. It's brought to you each day by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. While you're making out your Christmas list, don't forget about your dedicated employees and business associates that you would like to show appreciation to. A Honey Baked Ham gift card or ham or turkey breast make a very nice gifting idea. You can call the store at 812-941-9426 or stop by at 3602 Northgate Court in New Albany. Don't forget you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. You can submit a question or comment to me on Twitter or Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills, the username there. You can just send me a tweet with your question or comment. I'd like to know what you thought about the game last night, the Hoosiers' performance. Send it to me. Also, Facebook, the show has a page, The Hoosier Report. You can search that. You can find podcasts there. You can find updates on the show. And also, you can leave us a comment there, a question there as well, and perhaps it'll get read on the air here during our Wednesday program. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And I think a number of things to get to last night from the game. First, 57-54 final score. And I got to be honest, I settled in to watch the game. And early on, UConn got to, was it a 15-16-6 lead or so, and looked very good to start the game. And I'm thinking, okay, this may be a continuance of a bad performance that Indiana had at Wisconsin. We might see that play out tonight at Madison Square Garden. I thought Connecticut looked in control of the game. And I hope I'm saying his name right, Akook. He is going to be a fantastic college basketball player, and I've got to believe a big professional prospect here in the very near future as well. I thought he made some terrific moves, and I just liked how hard he played. He was so into the game, so committed to the game. You don't always see that nowadays, especially from the top elite-level athletes that can just kind of get by because of their skill and because of their athleticism. He has a lot of that as well, but he also has a lot of heart. He was a fun player to watch last night, and he got off to a good start with Connecticut, and that's another reason I thought this might be a long night for Indiana. But the Hoosiers battled back, actually took the lead into intermission, and I tell you what, Archie Miller, his comments going into halftime were much more, I don't know, spirited or happy. I guess he was excited about Indiana's run and its success in the first half to close out the first half. But normally he's pretty staring off into space and pretty serious and doesn't give a lot. But interesting comments as he headed to the locker room if you watched the game on ESPN last night. And I thought for Indiana to battle back on the road, and I know it was a neutral game, but it definitely was a Connecticut lean, you would think, based on the proximity of Connecticut, based on the fact that they're much more active in New York City recruiting. I know they have a lot of graduates there, but every time I saw the crowd last night, they panned to where you could see most of the lower level or some of the lower level. A good IU contingent. Seemed like a loud IU contingent of fans there as well last night. Other thing that I think you have to mention, we've highlighted some of the performances that really stood out with Joey Brunk having some big baskets. He's had 9 points total, and of course a lot of that came in the second half. But Al Durham had some great penetration to the basket, some great finishes, and boy, he can get up off the ground. He's got some real hops to him, 9 points for him as well. But you got to look at just a balanced lineup or a balanced scoring column for this Indiana team. Al Durham with 9 points, Justin Smith 8 points, Trace Jackson Davis 8 points, Devontae Green, going to have to be, or we always talk about him being the primary scorer for this team. Once again, he has 6 points. Not a big performance, not near like his 30-point outburst against Florida State earlier last week. Also, Joey Brunk, 9 points. Franklin, 3 points. Fennessy, 6 points as he made his return to the lineup. Davis had 4 points. Hunter had 2 points, including a big shot in the second half. Anderson, 2 points as well. Very balanced was this Indiana team last night, and they only committed 13 turnovers as opposed to the 22 that UConn had, which just was at times difficult to watch, especially turning the ball over in such key moments of the game in the second half as well. I've mentioned Rob Fennessy. I want to say a little bit more about his return. He has not played since November 20th against Princeton, and one of those comments that Archie Miller made on ESPN as he made his way back to the locker room at halftime was how little Rob Fennessy has practiced with this team all season long. He had injuries early. He had more injuries in the middle part of the season, or I should say in the middle part of where we're at now in the season, so going back to late November, and battling things now and hasn't practiced a lot. So for him to return last night, only play 13 minutes, but still a world of difference when he's in the games, I think for Indiana and how the offense flows and how the ball moves and maybe getting it out of Devontae Green's hands, getting it out of Al Durham's hands more so they can be scoring threats and driving threats for this team. Again, big, big difference when he is in the game. Little change to the starting lineup last night as well for this Indiana team. And then Joey Brunk in the second half after such a dismal performance at Wisconsin, I thought was very, very important for this team last night. Not only making some big moves offensively, scoring in the post, some big putbacks, staying with it for second and maybe even a third chance opportunity where he scored, but defensively on the other end as well against a big UConn team last night. Again, it's not pretty. It's not exactly what you'd like to see. It sure didn't give you the feel-good feelings that maybe you had after the Florida State game with how well Indiana played in that contest, but still a lot of reasons to be excited with a victory. Connecticut, maybe not the program it was a number of years ago at this time, but obviously four national championships in like, what, 12 years or 14 years maybe. So to get a win over them at Madison Square Garden in the Jimmy V Classic, with this Indiana team coming off the game at Wisconsin, not just the loss at Wisconsin, but the way they lost, by the amount they lost, by the fact that they were down 31-32 points at one point in the game at Wisconsin, you'll take a bounce-back win like this for Indiana, no question about it. Moving on in our Zaxby's headlines, tonight at Indianapolis at the Pacers game, the Boston Celtics come to town. Which is a big matchup. Obviously, the first time Celtics will come to Indiana this week. And Romeo Langford will be at the game. I mentioned yesterday, hearing from some pretty good sources, he would be there. I saw a story in one of the Boston, actually NBC Sports Boston website, that he confirmed he would be back. In fact, a couple quotes from Romeo. He said, quote, "It'll be good just to be back. I haven't been back home in a while. That first time going back, it's going to be a good, special time. It'll be nice for people who saw me grow up to see me now in an NBA uniform." And then talking about the injury later on, he said, quote, "It is frustrating, but you have to deal with it. Try to get better and get back out there as soon as you can. That's all I really can do." And that's exactly right. I saw earlier this week Romeo on the bench for Boston. He was up. He was cheering. He was jovial. He was smiling. We saw and talked some, I think, late last week about the Christmas Carol video where Romeo was kind of goofily singing Christmas Carol songs and kind of taking the lead, to be quite honest, with some of the other Celtics that were at whatever type of special event it was. Pretty comical. He seems to be having fun. He seems to be, at least outwardly and publicly to the media in special events like that, dealing with the number of injuries that he's had about as good as he can, and that's good to see. And the fact that he's coming back to Indiana tonight, the fact that it's New Albany night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, I know there's going to be a great, great contingent of people that are going up to make an afternoon, make an evening of Indianapolis and the Pacers game. I would have to think that's a positive for him just to know those people, despite not really having NBA success so far, despite dealing with all the injuries that he has. So far this season, those people still support him. So it'll be pretty neat, I've got to believe. I've heard there have been some outstanding ticket sales from the New Albany community for this event tonight. And again, if you got, I don't know, if first so many tickets purchased through this New Albany night package, you actually get an opportunity to go to the shoot-around at 5 o'clock today. And who knows, with Romeo out, how much he'll be out on the court working out, shooting around. But I would assume he would be there in some capacity, whether it be on the court or mulling around on the sideline. But I'm sure he's going to be around maybe a little bit more tonight than what he would have if he's not going to be out there because of it being New Albany night. So good stuff. Will be a fun night in Indianapolis, I'm sure. And I know that a lot of local people will be making the drive up north later today for that contest tonight. Couple high school basketball headlines. Tucker Bibben, the sophomore from New Albany, he was our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor earlier this week. Lee Kelly announced that when he filled in for me on Monday's show. Now he's been honored on a statewide level as the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association Subway Player of the Week for District 3, which is the southern, I guess, third of the state, following his 32-point outburst Saturday night against Evansville-Harrison. He had a really impressive stat line in the game, especially shooting. He was 11 of 17 from the field and 4 of 7 from the free three-point line. Very efficient at the free throw line as well in that contest. He did some other things, rebounding and assist as well to help his team. And just a sophomore recognized as a baseball prospect that obviously committed to the University of Louisville as a freshman before he had ever played his first baseball game as a freshman at New Albany, recognized as somebody that, you know, can have a great baseball career and that is a big baseball prospect, and who knows down the road where that could lead for him. But now this year, at least this winter, the last few weeks since the scrimmage at Heritage Hills, he's really been turning some heads by New Albany fans and by people that have seen him on the basketball side of things as well. And obviously heading into the game this Friday night against Floyd Central. You can expect that with Julian Hunter out, Tucker Bibben will be called upon once again heavily in that big rivalry game. But a great start to his sophomore year for Tucker Bibben, and in fact, he's going to join us Thursday, and it'll re-air on Friday, the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show. You can hear from Tucker Bibben about his start to the year and about the Floyd Central game and some other topics as well coming up on our Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. That will air on Thursday night. Other high school basketball notes to pass along. One game last week, Charlestown and Henryville in action. In Charlestown, they got their first victory of the season. It was a 54-51 victory over the Hornets. Kyle Craig led the way for Charlestown in the win with 16 points. And on the flip side, for the Henryville team, Weston Allen had 18 in the victory last night for Charlestown. Of course, Charlestown beating Henryville 54-51. Also, we talk a lot about Silver Creek. They're still number one, as they should be. In fact, they got all 15 first-place votes in the 3A poll. The Dragons 3-0 on the season. They started the year as the number one team in 3A, and they're still atop the rankings as they should be heading into this weekend. Someone shared this with me before the show today. We talk a lot about Silver Creek and their schedule and how each and every year it's really taken some big steps forward as a 3A school to get challenged if they want to defend their state championship. Here's a list of who they're going to play that's ranked in the Associated Press poll. They're going to play Lawrence Central, who's number one in 4A, and I understand just absolutely fantastic this season. They're going to play Bloomington South coming up as well, who's number two. We know what Bloomington South did to New Albany a few weeks ago. They're going to play Lafayette, Jeffersonville, Floyd Central, and then New Albany, who's outside of the top 10 but receiving votes in Class 4A. Then in 3A, the Dragons will take on Heritage Hills. I saw they got a big win this week over Evansville-Balsy in a big early season game. They'll also take on North Harrison Friday night, who's outside the top 10 by just a few voting spots. I think North Harrison, if you counted it out, would be 13th or so in the most recent 3A poll, and then drop down to 2A, and that's where Fort Wayne Blackhawk is at, number three in the state. And that's who the Dragons are going to take on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening at the Forum Tip-Off Classic in Indianapolis. So if there's any question that Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby and Northern, the point guard, and the Silver Creek team are going to be challenged at all and are going to be ready by tournament time in March to defend their championship at the 3A level, when you look at the schedule they play, the elite competition they're going to face, the number of 4A schools that they're playing on their schedule, really an amazing schedule that they've put together to challenge themselves this year well in advance of the state tournament. And again, this weekend, North Harrison on Friday, who's getting some votes and thought of to be a formidable team with Division I athlete on that team. And then, of course, Saturday against Fort Wayne Blackhawk at the Forum Tip-Off Classic. Definitely going to be a big weekend for the Dragons to prove their worth even more so. And again, they're going to have all sorts of opportunities to do that this season with the schedule that they have. Those are Zaxby's headlines. Our headlines each day presented by Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville as well. Zaxby's is the home of the Southern TLC Filet Sandwich. It's a buttermilk marinated chicken breast filet served with lettuce, tomato, and mayo. And you can find it again at Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. Just a reminder that Thursday night we have the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show here on the Big X Sports Radio. It's presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. That show also airs on Friday. We're going to preview the Floyd Central-New Albany game. We're also going to talk more with Coach Hoffman of Silver Creek, Coach McEwen of Clarksville as well, as we get you ready for the big games this weekend in Clark and Floyd counties. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic coming your way to recap last night's IU victory over Connecticut and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of the program. We get the opportunity to recap last night's Indiana victory over UConn. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, who covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic, joins us each Wednesday. Lots of IU and college basketball discussion when Dustin is with us. And Dustin, I tell you, it wasn't pretty at times. In fact, to be quite honest, in the second half, there were a number of possessions, even in a row, where it was pretty ugly for both teams. Connecticut, 22 turnovers. Indiana, 13, which isn't bad, but Connecticut really rough there in the second half. Indiana able to capitalize, get a win at Madison Square Garden. I think Indiana fans in the program will take that at any time. And Indiana gets its first win away from home this season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those games that if you're Indiana, you just take. And I think the most important thing is it's coming off of Wisconsin. I mean, and they're in a situation where they're having to learn fast. I mean, they just didn't get to learn that much about themselves, put themselves in that many adversarial situations in November. And now they're all coming really quickly because, you know, it's a backloaded schedule. And this, I mean, it wasn't necessarily anybody's fault. It's just the way that things are set up with all the events that they're in December. So they're, you know, they go from not learning a whole heck of a lot in November to learning a lot very quickly. And just the fact that you're able to take a blowout like Saturday, get the lessons from it, grow up, go back on the road, not necessarily playing in a road environment, but still playing in a environment where there's a lot of UConn fans. There's a lot of Indiana fans too, but I mean, Connecticut's not far from the Garden. So to be able to hang in that situation when you're not playing well, when you're not making shots, certainly not making outside shots, going 2 of 13 from three, and some of the turnovers, even though there was only 13 of them, there were some that just looked bad. So not letting that come down in your head, keeping it together, and really doing a better job of dealing with the adversity than UConn did, is still something that they can say, hey, you know, this is something, this is an accomplishment, that, you know, it kind of shows some growth, it shows some maturity, again, in the matter of a couple of days. I mean, really, this is a team that's had to grow up a lot in a week. It had to deal with success, it had to deal with failure, and then it just had to deal with a ugly night of basketball and having to hold it together. So it is definitely an important step in the right direction. Again, it's not a win that you circle if you're in the end and say, okay, this shows we've arrived. This shows that this is going to be a Big Ten power. No, but all the same, it's a win that helps. It's a win that matters. And one that's, you know, kind of tells you, hey, there's going to be nights like this and you're going to have to keep it together. And it was important for them to do that away from Assembly Hall.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest, talking IU basketball from last night. Rob Finnessy back. He only logged 13 minutes, but man, there's a big difference when he's in the game. He has much more command of the offense, and I think Indiana needs him to get back completely healthy where he can play a great majority, if maybe not even all the game, perhaps. He will make a difference. He made a difference last night in the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I think you don't know what all in, you know, he has so many injuries, basically. It almost seems like Archie Miller has a hard time keeping count of them. And I think the phrase he used last night was he played more in that game than he's practiced all year. And that's hard to even fathom. But, it's obviously it's going to take a while for him to get his wind entirely. And I think that's really a key piece of, you know, can he get up and down the floor for 20, 25 minutes and not, you know, sort of break down from a fatigue standpoint. But like you said, I mean, he just has so much of a calming factor. I mean, he's like one of those really, really slow heartbeat type of guys, you know, no expression, but he just slows everything down and chills everybody out. And that's kind of how he plays, basically. Just he doesn't make too many mistakes. He puts the ball where it's supposed to go. He's risk averse sometimes, and they want him to be a little bit more of a playmaker. At least that's what they were kind of hoping in the offseason. But for this group, it sort of makes sense to have somebody that's like, okay, you know, slow down, run the offense, put the ball where it's supposed to go, and be smart that way. And he's also their best on-ball defender. He's their best, perimeter guard guy, you know, in handling point guards. And he has a good job of not letting those guys beat him. So it is such a steadying presence. Just every time he was out there, it seemed like, you know, everything moved more slowly the way it was supposed to go. And he made a couple of really important plays, not ones that necessarily stood out on a highlight reel, but I mean, there was one rebound he grabbed that was kind of off the floor, and he sort of just picked it up with one hand when, you know, it was kind of a scramble, basically kind of stuck his right hand out there and just started dribbling it. And it was really key for Indiana to take possession at that moment. So there's a lot of things that he does that really matters. And if he can steady this team, it can go a long way. And also just the fact that once you can play all 11 that they've got, that's definitely a strength that Indiana has at this point, is having 11 guys they at least trust to be out there So being able to go that far with the depth and being able to go a little bit deeper at guard than they've been able to can make a pretty significant difference.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest. I think we got to talk Joey Brunk as well last night, coming off a very disappointing performance, to say the least, at Wisconsin. Not only was Joey Brunk, but really the entire team. And I kind of had begun to wonder, what exactly is his role on this team going to be, especially after Saturday's game at the Kohl Center? But last night in the second half, he stayed with it. He had some good moves in the post. He scored down there a handful of times. He had some second chance putbacks, even on his own misses, where he stayed with it and saw the play through and was very valuable to Indiana's win last night.
No, absolutely. I think he really did a good job of, you know, like you said, bucking up. I mean, I think, both on offense and defense, he really had, I don't want to call it a wake-up call, because obviously he's been through enough already to know, you know, what he's dealing with. But, I mean, he had two shots blocked at the rim in like the first 5 minutes of that game. You kind of got an idea of what he was dealing with from a length perspective in Connecticut's Josh Carlson and Akoke. I think I got that right. Because they were able to get above the rim on two pretty decent looking shots and swat the ball before they had a chance. So I think that really kind of took some wind out of his sails. And I think Carlson's just a better athlete than him, and was able to kind of to beat him up in there. And Indiana had to go to kind of that smaller lineup with Trace Jackson Davis just to have somebody who had the quickness to hang with Carlson. So it looked for a while, it was like, okay, what do you even need Joey Brunk for in this game? Is it best just to keep him out? But obviously he was really motivated last night, you know, being at the Jimmy V, having lost his father to cancer. That was a game and an event that mattered to him. And I think it was, you know, so important for him to not leave that event without doing something that mattered on the floor, and he really did. I think he just, you know, he just seemed really inspired in that second half. Was able to make some plays, and he does have that as far as, you know, what is his role is going to be. I mean, he is one thing he's really good, I think, is finishing around the rim. I mean, he's got good moves around there, just got good footwork, and can put himself in a position to get some layups. Basically, he's got enough down there to be able to make an impact. And he really defended better. I mean, it still wasn't a great matchup for him. You know, Jackson Davis was by far the most effective defender on Carlson, and they were able to switch Smith on him, and I think all of that worked. I think you needed some athleticism there, but he was able to hold his own more in the second half. Also take advantage. I think they doubled him a little bit more, and I think that helped him out, just to give him some aid there. And I think that definitely mattered, but he definitely did, you know, buck up a little bit and, you know, played with some more emotion, some more intensity, and it was really important.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joining me. Indiana with the win. You know, when you think of Matt, and I said this in the first segment, but when you think of Madison Square Garden and the Jimmy V Classic and all the college basketball events, and whether it's a conference tournament or whether it's a earlier season event like the Jimmy V Classic there, you think of like showcase opportunities for some of the best teams in college basketball. And last night we saw number one Louisville go down, not playing very well, I didn't think. And then, of course, Indiana and Connecticut, we've mentioned at times that the game was downright ugly in the second half. So, yeah, it's a big win. Yes, it's a win away from home. Yes, it's a win that can help with an NCAA tournament resume, to be quite honest, we think. Depending on, obviously, the season that UConn goes on to have. But I'm not sure it was your typical Jimmy V Classic with pretty good level basketball, pretty consistent basketball that you expect to see in that kind of stuff. But then again, I'm not sure that we're having that kind of college basketball year so far. There's so much parity. Number one teams are falling like flies. And there really isn't, of even the number ones so far this year, there hasn't been a dominant team that you can kind of say, hey, they are really good right now, and they've got the tools maybe to be the national champion. I think there's a lot of teams you think that could be good down the road that could compete for a national champion, but not really your showcase-level stuff last night at the Garden that I think we all have come to expect.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's just really flawed. I mean, everybody is extremely flawed in college basketball right now. There just isn't that kind of collection of talent. I mean, there aren't that many truly great players, I think, in this particular season, and there certainly are not particularly great teams. So, I mean, you just keep seeing everybody you think, maybe them. you know, they go up and I have a bad night. I mean, I think I was starting to talk myself into Louisville because they'd beaten Michigan pretty good. But, you know, they came out in that one last night and you can see some very clear flaws. I mean, they've obviously got, you know, some really good players. I mean, I think Steven Eno played really tough. Jordan Ora had some moments, but he also, I mean, I think he ended up like, what, 4 of 14 or something like that. You know, I mean, he eventually got some buckets, but they made it really difficult on him. They don't have good enough point guard play at all. So again, that's a team that looked at, you might've thought was the most, one of the most complete teams in college basketball. And it is not even anywhere near close to complete. And so it's going to keep being like that. I mean, I think, you know, right now everybody's starting to talk themselves into Ohio State. And they look really good. You know, I mean, they do look really good. Maybe they are the team, but I mean, you know, you might find out a week or 2 weeks from now, or I'm not sure exactly who all is coming up on their schedule. But you might find out in the not too distant future that they've got problems like everybody else. So, it just, every team that comes up there that you start looking at with a closer magnifying glass, and you kind of see, okay, that there's some real flaws here. So it's going to be that kind of season, I think. It's just, and you have no idea what it's going to look like. I mean, I can foresee a situation where, you know, somebody's losing 6 or 7 games and still managing to pull this thing out because somebody's got to win it. But I don't know that anybody is going to have this a long, you know, tenure as the number one team. Teams are going to get knocked off a bunch. And again, like, I don't know. I put this on Twitter a while back. I mean, I don't know that the team that ends up winning the title this year would have been an Elite Eight team last year. I think there's that much of a difference between, you know, some of the best teams that you had running around there last season and, you know, the teams that are going to be at the top line this year, because there's just, you know, a lot of good programs lost a bunch of really good players and didn't really reload in the manner we're used to seeing.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest. And I tell you what, we're a long way from there right now, but I'm going to – I think everybody will agree with this. I think we're in for a very fun year of basketball in 2020, including conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament. It could be one of the wildest, I think, that we experience with all the parity going on right now. I wanted to mention as well, starting lineup changed last night for this Indiana team. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I you had to figure it was coming at some point, and I kind of feel like we sort of missed as media members not really asking about this to kind of figure out what Archie Miller's, you know, basically what his idea was here, what he was thinking from a long-term perspective, because obviously Green was, you know, coming off the bench to start because he'd missed some time with the hamstring injury, so you just had to wonder, okay, what does he have to do to start? Is it something that he likes having him coming off the bench? Is it something that he looks at and says, well, you know, maybe Green is the guy that's better having a few minutes to watch the game, get going, see what the flow looks like, and then get in it. Is that something he sees, or was just a case of, you know, you don't want to demote Armand because you don't want to, like, you know, have him take that as something that's, a negative, basically, in some way. I'm trying to figure out exactly what word I'm looking for, but you don't want, you know, a freshman to take that as a negative, like he's being demoted. So that might have had something to do with it. But obviously, Devontae Green is the most talented scorer on this Indiana team. You know, there's no question about it in terms of his ability to score at all three levels and the ability to go off like he did in that game against Florida State. So what sense does it make to not have your best scorer in your starting lineup? At some point, it was going to have to happen. You know, obviously, he didn't have a great night last night. Nobody else did. But, I mean, he was 2 of 10, and you're still going to have those nights from Green. He's not going to go off for 30 every night. But, you know, he is the guy that has the capacity to do that. So, you know, again, what sense does it make to not have him in your starting lineup when he's the guy that gives you the best chance to win when he's playing a lot of minutes and playing well?
Also, last night, Indiana's scoring column in a fairly ugly game, pretty well balanced. Lots of 9-point, lots of 8-point performances, lots of guys contributing, whether it was a bucket or two. Jerome Hunter even had a big his 2 points that he had came in a big spot in that second half, I thought. But a very balanced effort, in a game that wasn't the prettiest to watch offensively.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's there's the double-edged sword part of that is that nobody was making shots. I don't think no one shot better than 50 among anybody who took more than 2 shots. So, I mean, Jackson Davis was 4 of 8. You know, he's the best there. So it was ugly for everybody. But at least, again, I think it was a situation of guys were making shots and still going at it, still attacking, you know, still trying to find ways to get points when they had to have them. And that obviously is important, too, is everybody's contributing in that way, knowing that, hey, there's not – no one is going to have a hot hand. No one is going to have a a matchup even that they can take advantage of. Basically, I mean, like, you know, Jackson Davis was dealing with you know, some real length in there with, you know, again with Carlton and a Coke. I mean, there it was difficult for anybody who was getting the ball anywhere near the rim to get a shot off and get a clean one. So it wasn't going to be easy for anybody. So anybody who had a kind of an advantage on any particular play had to be, you know, willing to keep attacking and deal with the fact that they, everybody had seen one miss. You know, I mean, I think their first three-pointers were all air balls. And I knew that none of them drew iron at the very least. I'm not sure if somebody got backboard on that. But everybody kind of had an ugly one last night that can obviously make you think, okay, well, it's not my night. I better give the ball up. These guys, you know, kept finding ways, understood that, hey, it's not anybody's night. So, you know, when you get a look, you still have to take it. You can't be afraid of putting the ball up. And they were able to make some big-time shots when they had to.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest. A couple other quick things I want to cover with you before we get off today. First off, Butler falls from the ranks of undefeated college teams last night, but not without a fight. I was able to flip over, I think, halftime or whatever that was to watch the final minutes of that contest. They put up a heck of a fight on the road against a solid Baylor team, a good Baylor team, and that was really my first in-depth look at Butler flipping back and forth last night. They have got a nice ball club, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure that anyone saw them going 8-9 games into the season undefeated the way that they did.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is a bit of a surprise, and I think I was kind of high on Butler, and I was starting to wonder if I was out on a limb there, basically, because I kept seeing all these preseason projections come out and then being 7th, 8th in the Big East. And I'm thinking, okay, am I missing something? And part of it also was that just basically anybody that was saying that was saying, well, the Big East looks good. You know, that basically it's a good, solid, steady looking conference. You know, if you're moving them up to 4th or 5th, who are you moving down? You know, look at these guys again. Look at who they lost to. Look at who Butler lost to last year. And those teams don't look any worse. So okay, what do you know who are you moving down if you're moving Butler up? But I did look at the beginning and say, well, I think this team is going to be better. I mean, I didn't necessarily think they were going to be able to swing a win at Florida or almost take Baylor down on the road. But, you know, they're just a more complete team because of some pieces that they've added that have been really important. I think even though he didn't have a great night last night, Bryce Enzi is a player that really changes everything for them in terms of what they're allowed to do with lineups. You know, last season, I mean, they didn't have a real power forward. I mean, they had Sean McDermott playing the four, you know, as a real stretch guy at 6'6", 195. And, you know, you're giving up, even in the Big East, even in today's game, when you're having a lot of stretch floors, I mean, he's still giving up, you know, 30, 35 pounds to a lot of guys who are playing the power forward. I mean, you're looking at a lot of 6'8", 6'9", 220 at the four. So he's giving up some size and some muscle. You know, obviously he could get a little bit of that back because he could take people out and shoot some threes over them. But, you know, ultimately and when they had to bring him out of the game or move him up to the three, you know, they were giving up some real mismatches there and they weren't able to do a lot when they weren't hitting 3-point shots. They were very one dimensional last year. You know, this group with NC, you know, again, now he can play the five or the four, can defend a lot of guys, can handle the ball in the perimeter a little bit, can get out and defend on the perimeter and in the post, and has really good touch around there, basically. So there's a lot of things that he's doing well that makes their lineups all make sense. Everybody's playing a position where they're supposed to play, and they've got a little bit of depth. They've got a couple five guys. Bryce Golden also is a guy that can play the five. He's playing pretty well. He had a shoulder injury most of last year and didn't really get a chance to play a lot or grow up. And I think, you know, those two guys have made a huge difference in the interior, and that allows sort of everybody to play where they're supposed to play. That puts McDermott back out on the three. I think he's grown up a little bit too, added some things to his game. He's really shooting the ball well. He's become a more effective player. So that NZ makes everything fit. But on top of that, you know, Kamar Baldwin has taken it up a notch. I mean, he was already a solid player, had a really good career up until this point, but he changed the shot over the offseason. It looks so much better, and he's able just to hit some big ones, both in the mid-range and from beyond the three-point arc. He's just so much of a better shooter, and that makes him so much better in some of these moments. You know, where last season he might have been just driving at the rim and trying to make something, anything happen. He doesn't have to go all the way in there and put himself in a tough position. He's good around the rim, but some, you know, you're not always going to get good looks around the rim. So now he can pull up more often. Again, sit back and hit some threes basically over top of some people. And that makes him a much better player. I think Aaron Thompson's playing pretty well. they're all more connected. I think they're all really motivated by having not left, you know, made the NCAA tournament last year. They're playing well together. Basically, just a lot of pieces are coming together pretty well for Butler right now.
I tell you what, Butler and Purdue, that's the other crossroads classic game coming up later this month. That could be interesting, be a lot of fun.
No, absolutely. That's definitely a game I'm looking forward to seeing because I'm, again, trying to figure out who all these teams are really in relationship to each other. I mean, honestly, right now I couldn't tell you who is the best of the three teams I cover. Butler's been the most successful, but I don't know what it'll look like when they actually play each other. And it'll be a really interesting, I think, matchup game. I think, obviously, you know, Baldwin is the most effective perimeter scorer in that game, but I think what's going to be very interesting is to find out, does Butler have any way of dealing with Matt Harms? I think that could be a pretty difficult matchup. You know, last year they didn't have a matchup for Morgan. I think they're better, Juwan Morgan. I think they're better against a guy like him if they were to face a similar, you know, stretch four that could take you outside. But it's still very difficult to find too many people who can run with and play with Matt Harms on the offensive and defensive end. I mean, he's still going to block a lot of shots. And he's tough to guard down then. So both him and Travion Williams, I think, are going to be difficult matchups. I think it's going to be very interesting to watch Kamar Baldwin and Nojel Eastern, basically, when Eastern draws that assignment, and I'm certain he will, for a significant amount of minutes in that game. Like, what it's going to be like to see those two go at it when Baldwin has the ball in his hands.
Final thing, Dustin, before we let you go, I saw Scott Agnes, who covers the Pacers for The Athletic, tweeting out that Romeo Langford says he'll be active tonight in his first game back home in Indiana. Quote, "I'm good now and I'm cleared to play." That's big stuff, as a lot of people from New Albany head to Indianapolis tonight for that game. With all the injuries that Romeo has had, the major ones obviously from last year at Indiana, the small ones here and there since he's been at Boston and at Maine, glad to know that he's back. He's with the team. He's in Indiana tonight. And what do you know? He's going to be active and in uniform for the Celtics team.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd be interested to see how Brad Stevens is going to handle it. I mean, I imagine he's, obviously he's an Indiana guy, so he knows, you know, what's all going on there. And I think you got to get him on the floor some. But that Celtics team is playing really, really well. And the Pacers are playing well enough, too. It's an important game, so it's not one of the – he's necessarily just going to throw Langford out there for extended minutes just for the heck of it. I mean, obviously, it's going to take him a while to get used to the level of play, but you think he's got to get him some time, basically, out there. You know, Brad is a guy that I think gets the history, gets the idea of, you know, when you've got an Indiana guy in Indiana, you got to let him play a little bit. You got to, let the fans enjoy and appreciate that. So I'll be interested to see just kind of what he does, with his rotation tonight, how he gets him started, you know, gets him – into some kind of a flow. Like you said, I mean, he's dealt with a lot of injuries. He hasn't had a chance to really, get into the mix of this thing, you know, and we're already in, getting close to mid-December here. So he's had a while that he's kind of been watching this team. So it'll be interesting to see just how he does that. But it will be really cool when he gets on the floor and gets a chance, I guess, to get some Indiana fans just to, you know, kind of show their appreciation, everything like that. Long-term, I'm very intrigued to see what it looks like when you have Carson Edwards and Romeo Langford on the floor together, how those guys work, what kind of chemistry maybe they can develop in the future. Imagine they'll be on a second unit together for a while if Langford, again, gets some time, gets to stick. Those two together is going to be a very interesting combination, I think, for that group. But again, it's the Celtics group that's playing really, really well. I think better than a lot of people expected with Irving gone. They definitely have they've kept it together. I think it's very much a much more Brad Stevens team. I think he feels like he's got a lot more control over this group maybe than he had over last year. So that's going to be interesting stuff to watch.
Absolutely. Dustin Opierak. Dustin, thanks for coming on a little later with us, and thanks for staying extra long today as we talk college hoops, IU, and more. Appreciate all your input, and look forward to our conversation next week.
Absolutely. Anytime, Matt.
Dustin Opierak of The Athletic, always with us Wednesdays as we talk IU basketball here on the Hoosier Report. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Thanks so much for being with us today. Don't forget, if you missed the radio show, it's a replay most days at 3 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio. You can also find us as a podcast. We're in the SoundCloud app, and you can also point your browser directly to us at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And you can find us at Apple Podcast as well. Subscribe, get the show delivered to your iPhone, your iPad, however you listen to podcast each day. each afternoon following our radio broadcast. Also, the Southern Indiana Tip-Off Show is coming up on Thursday night. We'll have Tucker Bivin of New Albany, our featured player, who is also the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week this week when we make that announcement each Monday here on the show. And we'll talk with the coaches, Jim Shannon and Todd Sturgeon, who will be involved in the great New Albany-Floyd Central rivalry game on Friday night. So listen for that Thursday here on the Big X and also Friday evening as well. And no high school coverage Friday night. That's because we've got IU Friday. So unfortunately, we can't give you the New Albany-Floyd game live if you can't make it out there, because we'll have IU basketball on the airwaves coming up this Friday night. If you're headed to Indianapolis, the good news, you probably just heard me mention it with Dustin Dopierak. Not only is Romeo going to be in the house tonight, which we had a feeling he would be, and then that was confirmed earlier today, but he's going to be active on the Boston roster, and he's going to be in uniform as well. So depending on how the game goes, maybe tonight, possibly tonight, do we see Romeo Langford for a few minutes check in the game for Boston in his home state. Will be fun, and I know a lot of people headed up there, so have safe trips this afternoon and this evening, traveling from Southern Indiana to Indianapolis and, of course, back home. Enjoy the game. That wraps things up. I'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll talk more about IU, get ready for the next IU game coming up Friday. We'll talk some high school basketball as well. Alex Bozich will join us of Inside the Hall, and much more coming your way on our Thursday program. Have a great afternoon. I'll be back with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.